Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Los Angeles-based photographer and artist Alexandra Hedison. Hedison studied acting at SUNY Purchase and did 2 years of liberal arts studies at UCLA. She had a brief career as an actress, but decided instead to follow her passion as a photographer. She has had solo shows at Gallery 28 in New York, Muse 42 Gallery in London, Frank Pictures Gallery in Santa Monica, and the Diane Rosenstein Fine Art Gallery in Beverly Hills. Her current show is called Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. It features haunting abstracts shot beneath Malibu beach houses, and it's now showing at the Cultural Center in Cascais, Portugal. I'm speaking to Alexandra Hedison by phone, where she is on the road in Toronto, Canada. Alexandra Hedison, thank you so much for joining us. I want to talk a little bit about the evolutionary process that you went through from pursuing a career as an actress to a career as a fine art photographer. Tell us about that evolution.
Well, that's a question I get asked a lot. People wonder how that happened. It wasn't intentional. I think it's just sort of found me. I've always been an artist. And when I was acting, photography was something that I started kind of like, it was like a habit. It started with a camera I fell in love with but didn't properly know how to use. And I would shoot all the time. And I also, at the same time, found a lab downtown L.A. that started printing things in a way that I hadn't seen before, sort of different borders and glossy versus matte. And it piqued my interest visually. And it really began my road, the road sort of as a photographer, and not even realizing that that was the road I was on. It was just this habit that I did over and over again, started shooting my friends and just about everything. And with the money I was making as an actor, I was spending as my, you know, my habit as a photographer.
Yeah. But so you started taking yourself seriously, it sounded like. Now, once you transitioned, did you have some, was it a smooth transition to have people take your photography seriously as a fine art photographer and then start having exhibits?
Well, again, I don't think that I considered myself to be a fine art photographer. It was just something I was doing. And somewhere along the way, it became clear that I wasn't acting anymore. It was very clear to me that I wasn't finding fulfillment in that way. It wasn't something that was satisfying. In fact, you know, I would have a shoot set up and then I'd have to cancel it because I got a job as an actor, or I'd have an audition as an actor, and it was so frustrating for me. And I realized, like, I have to admit, like, this is not something I want to do anymore. I don't like it, and I just have to take that leap, sort of this leap into the unknown, which oddly is what so much of my work is about. Once I did that, I kind of had a freedom to take whatever photographs I wanted. There wasn't a goal in mind. I wasn't saying I want to show as a serious artist. I didn't even know what that meant. There were just galleries that I went to that I loved, and, you know, one of them, I was talking to, you know, one of the directors at this gallery and said, you know, I'd love to show you some of the things I've been doing, not even thinking that that was something that probably every other photographer in the world did. They just walked into galleries and said, hey, can I show you my work? But I wasn't even doing it for the goal of I'd like to show here, or I'm trying to do this or be recognized as a photographer. I did it because I was loving it. And she looked at the work and said, yeah, can I just hold on to this for a little while? And I said, sure, okay. And then they offered me, it was Rose Gallery in Santa Monica, which is a fantastic gallery, and they asked me to be part of a group show with some really amazing photographers.
And so that was the beginning. Wow, what an interesting road. Now, you say that you were taking photographs of your friends and stuff earlier. Much of your work now seems haunted and uninhabited, and there are very few people in it. How did that transition start happening?
Well, it did start with me taking pictures of people. And I still like to take pictures of people, but it hasn't been my focus. It's not what I'm drawn to. I seem to be drawn to this, and you say that there's something kind of haunting about them, and they're not really inhabited, and they're not. There are not people in my images for the most part, almost entirely. The things that I'm drawn to are, I love screens or this idea of obstacles or states of suspension, transitory states, these places that are kind of unknown to us and maybe scary a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to them. And it's this story that I keep telling over and over again in different ways.
It feels like a little secretive secretive
Very
stuff.
Secretive.
And people can decide what's behind the veil, right? And that's what I found myself going, what is that? You know, I mean, that looks like something from my childhood or, yeah, very
it
interesting.
It is secretive, and it's as much about the space in front of the veil, which is the viewer, as it is what's past the veil. I'm interested in this identification of the present moment. So when you're looking out at a view, there's this kind of projected idea of what it is, this beautiful thing out there. But I'm kind of more interested in what's going on in the moment, the person who is looking out at that thing, imagining something that hasn't yet happened.
Oh, you certainly convey it. I can read that in almost all your stuff that I've seen. Now, it seems strange to me because you are a product of Los Angeles. You had a childhood there and still live there. Your photos seem so opposite of my vision of L.A., because as I told you, I'm from there, too. You know, the glitter, the bright, manic scene, the L.A. lights. Your stuff is so muted and almost black and white and quiet. It's opposite of what people would think of L.A.
Right. Well, I did grow up in L.A. I grew up with a father who is an actor, so I grew up in Hollywood. But I also had a mother who was, my mother was born in South Africa, and then she later moved to England.
Mm.
So she was not taken at all by the world of Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
My mother was incredibly well-read and interested in so many things. She had so much knowledge, and she imparted that knowledge to us. So even though I grew up in Hollywood, I knew very little. We didn't have a lot of exposure to things that I view now as being quite shallow.
Uh-huh.
My work doesn't reflect that life or that lifestyle because I really don't understand it. It's something that I look at through really like a stranger's eyes.
Yeah,
kind of
glitziness
and the I don't idealize it. I don't strive for it. I don't really even admire it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that I don't admire actors whose work is incredible or directors mm-hmm. or writers, people in the business who have done extraordinary work.
Yeah.
I do, but I think that makes up a very small percentage of the world that is Hollywood.
Yeah, your stuff is the opposite of celebrity culture, that's for sure. that's what I think of. I couldn't wait to...
It's so remote. It's almost too remote. It's so hard to get to me. You have to work a little bit.
I find it fascinating. Now, let's talk about you. You had an exhibit called Rebuilding, and it was literally after a breakup, and so you started mm-hmm. shooting demolished and rebuilt houses. Talk to us about that. What a fascinating metaphor for a breakup that you would shoot demolished houses, and the result is really fascinating.
Yeah, for better or for worse, I don't approach things knowing what it is that I'm doing. I have friends who are artists who are much more considered with their work. They have a goal and then they set out to achieve it. And for me, it's much more instinctual. And as I'm doing it and as I produce the work, I'm really in the dark about what it is that I'm doing. And it's only after I'm looking at it for a while and sitting with it that I'm able to put a name to it.
Hmm.
And that was true of Rebuilding. It was a transition in my life, and it was a difficult one. And I think that in times like that, one has to look at themselves and say, you know, and ask some hard questions. How is it that I got here? What has happened? Whether it's dealing with, you know, the death of someone, the loss, a divorce, a change in life that was unexpected. You know, when the rug is sort of pulled out from under us,
mm-hmm.
we're left in this, again, I mentioned it before, this kind of state of suspension. And in that place, it's very scary because you think, well, this is it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know, you know that what you were once used to is no longer. And you don't know yet what the future will look like. So you're in this place that's completely undefined. And it was during that time that I was drawn to these construction sites, but specifically to homes that had once been built and kind of built up in a sort of glamorous way or expensive way. And then a new owner would come in and redo the whole space. So you'd have the facade of the house, which seems sort of intact, and upon entering it, it was just destruction everywhere. You'd have like a bit of a chandelier hanging from the ceiling, and you'd look out in the backyard and the entire pool was emptied and filled with debris and doors and windows. And it was very dramatic, but it also felt promising.
Hmm. And like you could create something new from it, right?
Yeah, there was something kind of exciting about it. Uh-huh. And I think that, and I've heard a lot of people say, and for me this is true as well, in my most difficult times, it's also been the greatest times creatively. It's been the most fertile times. It's been the these times of transition. There's magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, there sure was in this exhibit. I mean, the pictures I've seen, they're absolutely beautiful pictures of what you describe as, you know, I mean, broken up and, you know, emptied pools and disembodied pieces of buildings. It's beautiful the way you use the light.
There is something very beautiful about them. Mm-hmm. And truly, I you know, it's the one series of work that I feel like it's continued in some way. I'm still drawn to those spaces. I'm doing a series right now in Paris of spaces that are under construction. And, you know, again, I found myself there. It's like, oh my God, I keep shooting these spaces. What am I doing? Oh, I guess I'm doing it.
You're trying to build something, Alex.
I guess I'm, you know, that's happened so many uh-huh. times. You know, there was a series of work I did that was I called Ithaca.
You know, I was going to bring that up next. That is a beautiful exhibit too, but it's much more realistic. It doesn't
well, yeah,
seem as abstract. Yeah.
Well, it was very odd for me when I was doing it because I was drawn to shooting kind of like bushes and trees that were all kind of tangled and weeds, and I didn't know what I was doing. And people would say to me, "So, what are you working on?" I don't know. I seem to be shooting trees. I seem to be shooting like kind of forest, but not really forest because I live in Los Angeles and it's not like redwoods. But I kept doing it everywhere
I went.
You
went up to the Pacific Northwest to do this, though. So something drew you there, right? I mean,
I finally ended up there, and I ended up there because someone told me, I was describing to them what it was that I was looking for. And I said, you know, I just don't feel like I'm supposed to be going to South America. I don't feel like I'm where, you know, I've gone to Thailand. I've shot these bamboo forests, but that's not it. I don't know. And they said, well, what about, do you know the temperate rainforest, the Ho National Forest? And I said, no, I don't. And they said, oh, you've got to see it. And I Googled it and I saw these lush landscapes, it was like unlike anything I'd ever seen,
mm-hmm.
Where you would see fallen trees that had already started to grow again into the ground, the mulch, the, you know, this sort of this growth, layers upon layers in this forest. And I went, and I started working there, and that work took quite a while.
If you're just joining us, my guest is photographer and artist Alexandra Hedison. We're talking about some of her exhibits. The one we're talking about right now is called Ithaca. She was shooting in the rainforest of the Pacific Northwest. You know, this is another exhibit, even though it's more realistic than some of the buildings, less abstract, it still conveys this lostness and almost this awe that you felt.
Well, so much of what I shot and the way I shot it was kind of from the midsection of the tree. So often I was further up looking down. So it has this feeling of suspension. And the images are quite large. I shot on a large format camera. We were deep in the forest working. And it wasn't, you know, I'm not a landscape photographer. It really was, it was, again, kind of another exploration of being lost and trying to get somewhere and not knowing what that point was. And, you know, the forest is an exciting place. It's a scary place.
Mysterious.
You can't quite get through it. It's not like there's a clear road. There was so much to it. And I ended up titling it Ithaca, which was about Odysseus's journey home.
Uh-huh. And you spell it with a K, the original. Our Ithaca is spelled with a C.
That's now, right. People are saying, oh, did you shoot in Ithaca, New York? No. Different Ithaca. different spelling.
When I first saw that on your website, I thought, oh, my God, has she been here shooting stuff? Forks in Ithaca? Yeah, okay.
No, although you never know.
Exactly. That's
you never
true.
Know. I may in the future, although shooting trees, it doesn't seem to be what I want to do, but sometimes I find myself there anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you might be interested in the waterfalls here. Now, you know what I was wondering about too? You know, photographers, I can't tell, especially with this Ithaca exhibit, are photographers trying to capture the world as it is or create a new one? Do you have anything to say about that particular thought? I mean, it's hard to tell.
I certainly can't speak for photographers in general or artists. It seems to me that a lot of photographers are trying to capture what is there in front of them. And for others, they're using the medium of photography to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
It is obviously a visual, it's a practice that is about seeing and experiencing through a visual medium. But it also in some ways feels like writing to me. There's something I'm trying to convey to myself, to the viewer. So I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's...
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Now, let's talk about the current exhibit with this magnificent title, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. I love that title. Talk to us about that. Under Houses of Malibu. How did you come up with that?
Well, this was a series of work that I did from 2008 to 2012. And I grew up in Malibu, and our house was right on the sand. And in Malibu, the houses are built on pylons, which are these sort of very strong wood-like pillars, really. Mm-hmm. And the point of these pillars is to allow the water, the ocean, to go underneath the house. As the tides come in and out, they go underneath the house and go back out into the sea. So it allows for the houses to be right on the beach. And there, it's a really odd kind of construction. If you look at it, if you're standing on the beach looking underneath these houses, it seems so haphazard the way they're built. They're just, it's like they just were kind of
thrown there.
Of assembled willy-nilly underneath these houses. But as a child, I would go underneath our beach house, and I would sit there, and I'd look out into the ocean. So some of my earliest memories are of that. That was my perspective, being underneath the house where we lived. And, I'd go to sleep at night listening to the ocean, and it always occurred to me that it just seemed so odd that every night that the water would come and wash everything away.
Oh, yeah.
There was something kind of magical about it and frightening and exciting. Again, these descriptions that I use, things that compel me to take pictures. But, when I started shooting the work, I felt like I needed to go back to the beginning of my memory. If I'm going to be telling stories, what is the lens through which I see? How do I see things? How do I describe things? Where did that start? What is that? What are my storytelling methods? So I had to go to the beginning, and that was Malibu. So I started shooting during the winter of 2008 in Malibu because it's so stormy there and dramatic and beautiful, and the tides are...
The photos are absolutely gorgeous, and they are haunting, so haunting. Do you think you went back there and sat under houses as an adult and looked up and decided to photograph what you remember seeing as a kid?
Well, I knew that I needed to go there. So I knew that I needed to go underneath the houses and look out. That was kind of the whole point of it. I needed to that's the point at which I needed to shoot was underneath those houses. It wasn't about shooting the beach or shooting the ocean, or it was through that. It needed to be that perspective. but I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know what camera I was going to use. Was it large format? Was it 35 millimeter? Was it the camera my father had in the 60s, which was an old 35 millimeter Nikon without a without a meter in it? So I ended up trying everything. And I, after that first winter, I went back. I kept going back. And I collected so many different images, and I decided that the story really needed the voices of all of those cameras, of all of that material. It wasn't, you know, the way we assemble a story isn't just by, it's not just one voice. It's the voice of our parents. It's the voice of our community. It's a voice of ourselves. You know, what is the inner voice? What is that narrative? And what makes a story? What makes a storyteller? So it was really kind of, it was an examination of all of that. And I at the end, made these composites of a lot of images put together. So what you see is, in these sort of vast seascapes, are years of work put together. And some things are taken away and some things remain. And you can see how much the level of the sand changes and the tides and the seasons.
And you know what? I was struck by the fact that it's very dark. Most of the work in this exhibit is very dark.
It is.
Where did you come up with this title, too? Tell me about that, because I used to say, I got to get out of Nowheresville, which that was my word for L.A.
Right.
So this title actually is so apropos in my mind.
Well, everybody knows this is Nowhere is actually a Neil Young album from 1969, which is the year I was born.
Ah.
And I really like the title because it wasn't about Malibu. It wasn't about one particular place. I wrote the story from that place. But it was, there's this, you know, memory is really, it's neither here nor there. It's nowhere. It's everywhere. It's everything. It's nothing. It felt right. That title. It's something that we all experience. We tell our stories. They change over time. We add to them. We take things away. We forget.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Yeah, I think whenever I go back to a place from my childhood, it always feels haunted to me, and your photographs totally invoke that, to me, that haunted thing. Do you have siblings and family still alive? What do they think of those? Does it remind them of the past?
Well, it does a little bit, but it's sort of the way I tell my story. I have a sister who lives in New York, and... my parents had been together for almost 50 years. My mother passed away 8 months ago.
Oh.
And Malibu was one of her favorite places. So it, you know, she loved the work. My dad loved the work in different ways. It's not their memory of the place. But it's interesting because my work right now is coming from, you know, I am in a place of grief and of sorting through the past and feeling loss and being in that wilderness. So, you know, the work that I'm doing now is an exploration of that, that state.
Are you going to do any additional photographs for this particular exhibit and perhaps exhibit it again? I know it's in Portugal right now.
Well, the Nowhere exhibit, is in Portugal right now. They had asked me, this fantastic cultural center in Cascais, it's just outside of Lisbon, asked me to show the work, and I did. And it was interesting putting it together because... I assembled the show, which I hadn't shown since 2012, and I assembled it really as my mother was dying. So there were pieces that I added to it. There was a film that I made that's in the exhibit that I hadn't shown anywhere else. So, you know, I added to the story. I don't have any plans right now of showing the work again. I may. I'm sure I will in the future somewhere.
Yeah, it's beautiful stuff.
But, it changes over time. It changes. I can't imagine showing that work the same way again. It should continue to change. It should continue to, to have something added to it or taken away.
Yeah, it's really beautiful stuff, Alex. Now, you said in one interview that you shoot alone. You usually go out and shoot photos alone. Talk to us about that. Is it a solitary business for you?
It really is. Sometimes it can't be. Like when I was in the rainforest in Washington State, I needed help. I actually needed help carrying the equipment, and so I had a very small crew of three people helping me sort of tote things around. It rained the whole time. But in terms of shooting, even then I would sort of set up camp and then walk away. It's incredibly meditative for me. And I don't say that, we talk about meditating a lot and, it's not, I believe in meditation, but it's not something I do actively. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to be still. It's hard for me to stop and just allow something greater than me to kind of take over. And when I shoot, that's what happens.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's just that's what happens. And that happens when I'm not in conversation with another person. When I'm not even really in conversation with myself, when I let go of ideas I have and I have my camera and there's kind of another space I go into. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll shoot for hours and sometimes it'll be, just 30 minutes. But it's like this, I'm led by something different than my brain, if that makes sense.
Alex, we are almost out of time. What a great description. That makes total sense to me. You have no regrets about becoming a photographer, it sounds like. You're totally immersed in it.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I love it, and I want to continue to tell the stories the way I do, and that's with photography, and it may be film also. We'll see.
Can you give my listeners some contact information, your website?
Sure. My website is just my last name. It's Hedison.com.
People can get in touch with you there?
Yeah, they can get in touch with me that way. And I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Me too. This was really great. Thanks so much for being so generous with your emotions about this. It sounded like a very emotional talk in regard to this serious work that you're doing. It's beautiful stuff. Again, my
Thank
guest
you.
Was Alexandra Hedison, photographer and artist based in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outoboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.